Good morning and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. I got my apron on.
Did you just put your apron on?
I did.
I was going to say, wait a minute, I've been talking to you for 10 minutes already, and I didn't see you in an apron. That's very impressive.
Poof.
Oh, my gosh. How are you?
Good. I don't know. Yeah. 16% tomato. How about you?
Oh, my gosh. And the remainder is melon.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're 100% berry.
Oh, yeah. It's true. I'm all about the berries.
Yep. Yep. It's summer. And it's the tail end of summer. I mean, I know that we go into September. I realize that, you know, the autumnal equinox isn't for another month or something. But it's starting to feel kind of autumn-y.
There's squash.
Yeah, there's squash. I already have the root vegetable anxiety that comes along with autumn and winter.
You know, I was thinking about that, how summer, that's the time. Oh, gosh.
Oh.
Probably a berry seed. That's the time that you can just, like, grab something and eat something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you can't grab a squash and just, like, gnaw on it. Or, I mean, you know, yeah. Not and expect to
enjoy it.
Keep out of a padded room. Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, a tomato, you can just bite into it. Or you know, just berries, you can just throw them in your face. And I was thinking about that because Dale gets the Week magazine, you know. It's just a very thin weekly synopsis of the news. It's very neutral. He likes it. So I was just paging through it, and they had this article, and its title was Two Ways to Exalt Your Summer Treasures, and it was about tomatoes. Well, I'll read that, right? I mean, that sounds great. So two ways. It has two recipes. So the first one is called Tomatoes with Brown Butter. Well, you take 4 to 6 tomatoes and then like Roma tomatoes, and then have 10 tablespoons of butter. And I'm like, no. I mean, no, you know, no.
Wait a minute. How many cubes is that? One and a half cubes?
Yeah, just about, you know. I mean, that's the thing about summer. You can just bite into something that's so delicious and it's so healthy, you know.
Yes.
So why would I do that? So I'm like, no. So I go to the second recipe, and it's called Peeled Tomatoes with Burnt Toast and Torn Herbs and Cream. Well, then the first item is 6 to 10 plum tomatoes. Again, they're those.
Yeah,
they're small.
They're
you
cooking
know?
Tomatoes.
Yeah,
they're sauce tomatoes.
Yeah, but
really.
they're not like a big honking beefsteak tomato or something. And the second ingredient is 2 cups of heavy cream. No, I am not going to do that. You know, I mean, that's the stuff that we put on things in the winter to make them palatable.
The thing about summer is, I mean, it's salad season, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that can be anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have to cook anything.
Yeah.
At all. I've been looking at vinaigrettes because I've been seeing gochujang vinaigrette and chili crisp vinaigrette come by my, you know, whatever. I see them come by on recipes, and that is like a whole new vinaigrette for me.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
So, but also really good with tomato, fresh tomatoes, wouldn't it be?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're totally right.
Yeah. And so I'm big on that. And also the gochujang vinaigrette that I saw the recipe for is in conjunction with a peach, cucumber, and mozzarella salad.
Oh, what a great combination.
It sounds refreshing and really summer.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I've talked before about my inability to reliably pick good peaches.
I think it's just you can't tell if they're mealy inside or not.
And plum, same way.
Yeah.
I've had a lot better luck with pluots for
reason. Now that's really interesting because Freddy's in their ad last week, they had pluots, but they also had apriums.
Oh, yeah.
Have you had those?
Yeah. And I think it's, I mean, it's all marketing jargon, I think.
I'm like, clearly they're both plum and apricot, but they were out of both of them, and so I couldn't try them
next to each other. I think you have to really be careful, and nothing against Freddy's, but just you have to be really careful about where you buy that kind of stuff, that fresh produce stuff. And once you find a place where you reliably are able
not
to,
disappointed.
Yes. Then, you know, stick with it, because I have 86 things I bought because they felt right to mm-hmm. me, but they just mm-hmm. were mealy inside with no juice at all. Doesn't matter that they were nice and, you know, that they had the right amount of give, but it's disappointing. And I don't do a lot with peaches and nectarines and plums in the summer, which I should, because it's stone fruit season, but I don't have the expertise to reliably pick.
Well, we pretty much buy nectarines in our house just because they're the one that I am more likely to not be wrong on.
Yeah.
So peaches and nectarines, if they don't smell like peaches or nectarines, I don't buy them. And then it's just, you just hope, you know, that you're, and then something I don't know.
Or paying money for hope.
Yeah. And something I don't know is if a peach is mealy, if you don't, and you can't tell until you cut into it, but if you didn't cut into it, what I can't tell is if then, if later it turns juicy, if that's a thing.
I don't know if stone fruits ripen on the countertop.
I don't know if that's part of the ripening is going from mealy to juicy, because I've gotten, you know, a big crate of peaches and you cut into them in the mealy and you're like, oh, dang it. I'm not going to eat those. And then they just sit in the counter. And then later you cut into a different one and it's not mealy. And I don't know if the whole case went from mealy to not mealy, because I will never know, because you can't cut into one and then have it ripen, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's a big peach mystery to me.
Oh, it's annoying. Peaches, get with it. Which, jeez. I love fresh peaches. I love them. But they got to be good.
So what do you know about the difference between apricots and pluots? Or no, not apriums and pluots. Yeah.
I don't know about apriums. It sounds
I'd never even heard
like
of them
a
until
landscaping edifice. I don't even know. I don't know anything other than when it comes to picking plum-like things.
Yeah.
I have had so much better luck with pluots than I have with the individual varieties of plums.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I have not had a single pluot.
Disappointment?
Yeah. Yeah. No pluot has broken my heart.
Oh.
But plums and apricots all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yep.
Oh, I grew up with a peach tree.
Oh, lucky you.
And so,
I grew up with a snowball tree.
You can't harvest them too soon.
Either one.
They don't ripen on the counter. Oh, my gosh. And speaking of vinaigrettes, mm-hmm. which we briefly were, I was looking at recipes for salads, and I found a recipe for anchovy breadcrumbs, which is not, you don't need a recipe for it, but I never thought about that.
Uh-uh.
The anchovy breadcrumbs, where you just melt the anchovies and you can add like some chili flakes or something, but basically you're just melting anchovies and then tossing breadcrumbs in the saute pan and toasting them up.
Okay.
And then using them on whatever you want to use them on. They would be great on pasta, they would be great on all kinds of stuff.
I wonder, okay, so I accidentally happened upon a method to make the breadcrumbs where I put softened butter, not melted butter, in the food processor, and then bread that wasn't necessarily stale.
Yeah.
And then I just blitzed it up, and I thought for sure that I was just going to get some paste, you know, that I could make like a little figurine out of, but it worked, and it made every breadcrumb had an equal amount of butter on it. You know, some of them weren't like sodden and then others weren't dry, and it really worked. And I think an anchovy is about the same.
It's butter.
Yeah, exactly. And I wonder if it would work with, but that is a little close to that Saturday Night Live basomatic.
Well,
but I wonder if that would work.
We're not going to drop an anchovy into a whole fish into a thing of water, a blender jar of water. Oh, yeah.
But I bet it would work.
I bet it would work, too. I bet it would work, too.
And really evenly coat everything.
I also saw, I've been seeing things.
Yeah.
I saw a note about, and this reminds me that we had a caller after our last show. We were talking about blueberry things, mm-hmm. and I actually don't remember what we were talking about because I tend to forget immediately as soon as we leave
the
air.
We don't
room.
Have a script, in case you're wondering.
And nor do we have any, like, memory of what we just said. But one of the things the caller said was, can you talk about more things to do with blueberries?
Oh.
And so I was looking this morning about fruit crisps.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my issues with fruit crisps is the topping is... I think it should be crunchy, but it never is crunchy, really.
Oh, okay.
And I've ran across a recipe where the topping was baked separately in the oven. You make the topping and you break it up into little clumps and put it on a sheet pan and bake it and then sprinkle it on.
Kind of like making granola.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you end up with something really crunchy.
Okay.
But I also thought that fruit crisp topping is really delicious,
yeah.
and you could use that in a lot. You know, you could put it on ice cream. You could, the toasted stuff.
Anything. Mix it with cereal.
Yeah.
I have a method, too, for keeping the crisp on top crisp. And that is, there are many different ways that people thicken their fruit in their pies and in their crisps and cobblers. And most of them, cornstarch and tapioca and flour, require you to cook the fruit. And that's why one of the reasons they tell you the fruit has to be bubbling, because then it is boiling temperature. And that's when all these thickeners are activated. It also means that you're, you know, it's food safe too, but
yeah.
But then your fruit is thick. But there's one, and it's called Instant Clear Gel, and
yes.
it's a just a starch product, and you mix that in with your berries, blueberries, or just whatever you have beforehand, and then you can see how thick your filling is going to be. So that's really good if you have like some super juicy berries, and a regular recipe won't be thick enough, you know, by the time you get done baking it. But another thing it's really good for is it thickens your berries from the get-go, and then when you lay your crisp on top, it doesn't sink into the liquid, into the baking part before, if that makes sense. So
yeah.
So there is clear gel and there is instant clear gel, and instant clear gel is the one that you want. And typically, like my go-to, except for like strawberry rhubarb, because basically you're making a pie out of celery and you need more sugar,
yeah.
is with berries. I'll take 4 cups of berries, and then in a different bowl you mix 1/2 cup of sugar and about 2.5 tablespoons of instant clear gel, and then you whisk them together, because if you just pour the instant clear gel on top of the fruit, it'll gum up and you'll have really unsightly white lumps and it just won't work as well. So you always have to mix instant clear gel with your
sugar,
yeah, before you add that. And so typically I'll hold a little sugar back in case it's not thick enough. I'll have some sugar left to add clear gel to if I need more, if it's not thick enough. And then if it's not sweet enough, then I can just add more sugar,
uh-huh.
because you can taste what it's going to taste like as an end product. Does
Great.
That make sense?
Yeah, and it also protects your topping.
Yes, so it stays on top, because part of the reason it gets soggy is it's sitting in liquid the first half that it's baking, because the fruit is not thick at all. And then also the fruit, it's a liquid, it doesn't support it,
right.
so it sinks, and then the liquid, the water bubbles up over it. And then, so it's also really ugly. Well, we like to eat pretty food.
We do, although delicious trumps beauty if you have to choose.
Yes, yes, yes. So, anyway.
Quickly, I want to remind you that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Thank you both for giving us an opportunity to, I don't even know what. On the first
blather.
And third,
I'm thinking of an action verb, and it's blather.
On the first and third Monday of every month. And also encourage you to go to both of those websites, which are full of informative and interesting information, KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. So what else are you cooking these days?
Well, here... gentle caller. I made some blueberry bran muffins.
Oh, yeah.
You can put blueberries in any muffin.
You know I'm a big fan of those.
Oh, thank you.
They're
well,
delicious.
Yeah, I made some and I had some batter left over. And I thought you know, is muffin batter pancake batter? Pancake batter generally has quite a bit more leavening, you know, baking powder mostly. And I'm like, I don't know, I'm just going to try it. So I stuck it in a skillet and I fried it up and it was good.
Ah.
So I think if I, it was very thick, so I had to like, you know, force it down, convince it to be pancake shaped with my might. but
then you could control how thick you want it to be.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think if I was going to make them into pancakes, that I would put more leavening in there. Just, you know how, you know, when a pancake's ready to flip, when it bubbles, because they had to get pretty brown to be able to have the inside cooked. But I liked them and Dale really liked them and he's calling them bran cakes. So I thought that was funny, but yeah, they were really good. And then I was going to say another thing that you can make with blueberries or any kind of fruit is just a compote. And so you can put it on cottage cheese or ice cream or your
toast.
Finger. Yeah, really. So it's kind of just almost jam.
Yeah.
But
it's a sauce almost.
Yeah, between sauce and jam. But I mean, you just use it like you could.
Yeah.
You know, you can put it in a dressing, anything.
Yeah.
And so you just have bigger hunks of fruit, which is nice. And so I am trying to think how I make that. And I think I just cook it with sugar. So it's fruit. It would be blueberries in that caller's case, sugar. And then the big difference for me is there's a decent amount of butter in it. And that makes it really silky.
And a little lemon zest is really good.
Yes,
great.
Yes. And lemon juice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is just compote. And that's a really simple thing that has so many different uses.
Yeah. And it's,
you can do with blueberries.
It stores really well in the
and
fridge.
And you can freeze it. Yeah. You can freeze it and it's no worse for the wear.
Yeah. I just like it. I mean, with all berries, my favorite thing is to eat them just the way they are.
Yeah, handfuls.
As, you know, in appreciation of their perfection, but also just sprinkled on granola, just anything, you know.
Granola
anything.
And yogurt and blueberries all in equal
porridge,
portions.
All of
so
that.
Good.
Yeah. Right.
Really, seriously, so good. So good.
A sprinkle of granola on a bowl of berries. Like, you know, it's like a seasoning, really.
Free granola. Well, I saw somewhere that somebody was eating popcorn shoots. Have you ever heard of that? Like,
no.
You know how people eat microgreens, but she was saying that they were just a really delicious addition to a salad. And I thought, that's kind of a strange thing. I'd never heard of that. And I mean, there's just not a lot of cooking things I haven't heard of.
Yeah.
There's a lot I haven't tried. But
corn shoots in general. What?
Yeah. So she buys popcorn.
Okay.
And then she puts it in a shallow dish that has some compost on it. And I'm not a good gardener. For some reason, she puts a weight on top of it, you know, sprays it with water, puts a weight on top of it every day, lifts the weight off and squirts it and keeps it in a dark place. And then when the shoots start showing, she takes the weight off and she grows them in a dark closet so that they don't get chlorophyll. And she says they're really sweet if you do that. And I don't think I'm going to do that. I think that that's a lot of work. But I'd never heard of eating corn shoots. I never had.
No, me either, ever. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I suppose beetles like it. Hey, are you a fan of the huckleberry?
I love huckleberries.
I didn't see. I put something in between blueberries and huckleberries, so it didn't seem too blueberry-ish.
Yeah, that was sneaky of you.
They're so hard to pick, and they're in such unreachable mountain areas. The good ones are the mountain ones.
Yes.
Oh, so delicious.
Yes.
But it's a really good year, I hear, for huckleberries.
Oh, that's... I hope all of the intrepid foragers are out there doing their job.
Oh, and I think you have to be intrepid, because then anywhere that the huckleberries are, there's bears.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And that's enough reason to keep me away.
Yeah,
I mean, really.
Exactly.
I'll buy them.
And bears know exactly when they're the perfect time to eat.
Because bears love huckleberries.
Yeah.
It's like we have such a problem in our yard with skunks because it is their favorite. Cherries are their favorite fruit, bar none. And it's just like huckleberries. That is it for bears.
Yeah. I don't want to run afoul of skunks, but I really don't want to be like arm wrestling a bear for a huckleberry.
No. And I am. I mean, it's smart to be afraid of bears, but I am unnaturally afraid of bears. So,
you are. You grew up in Minnesota. There, you probably have more bears per capita.
But we just have black bears. They're pretty harmless. But
yeah,
it's,
here
I had
too.
In high school, I had a friend who was killed by a grizzly, and her boyfriend was too. And so it was just, you know how like when you're a teen and everything's so dramatic.
Yes.
I like dramatic it into my like subconscious.
Yeah. So. Well, I will say that although I think grizzlies are probably omnivorous, they prefer a salmon to a huckleberry. So yeah, we're probably true. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they come this far west. No.
But the trail cam behind our house, there's a bear in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I know. I've seen bears just around.
Yeah.
I had a friend who had one come in her kitchen in Cannon Beach years ago, somebody I worked with. She was like, she was upstairs, she heard some rustling, she went down, there was a bear in the kitchen.
Can you imagine? I'd be all like, the dogs are in the bagels, you know? Yeah. Well, I was in northern Minnesota once, and there was just, you know, walking around, and there was a... You know, like in Minnesota, we have a lot of maple trees and the leaves dry and then the squirrels jump around on them, you know, boink, 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 boink. And there was a squirrel jumping around behind me and it wasn't a squirrel. It was a bear. And it turns out that their paws are about as big as a squirrel, you know, crunch, 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 crunch. And, yeah. Just like, and I screamed like I didn't even know I was capable of. And then, of course, the bear did, too. And we both ran in opposite directions. I didn't pee for like 3 weeks. I was just like, but
oh my gosh,
that, yeah, when
I love that you guys scared each other to death.
Oh, but when you are frightened, like when you go from 0 to 60 that fast, I mean, I think it does something to you.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
And then blueberries are so good on salads.
Yes, very good on
pears, blueberries, blue cheese, so good with lettuce. Ooh. Which is perfect right now.
Yeah, all the lettuces.
Yeah.
Really. I'm just hooked on the little miniature romaines.
Oh, they're so cute, aren't they?
Oh, and they're so delicious. And for two people, if you're putting a ton of stuff in a salad, that, you know, a little head of lettuce, you use the whole thing. You don't have anything left over to worry about.
Yeah.
Don't need to wrap it in a towel or anything. You could just have it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Nice.
And then there are people locally growing those, so that's cool.
I mean, I am a co-host of a cooking show, but I have to admit that really, I mean, all that we've been eating is bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwiches.
Oh, they're so just good right now.
Yeah, the tomatoes are so perfect, and the lettuce is so perfect.
Yes, and I don't even care about the bacon. I mean, just a tomato sandwich.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not saying I don't like bacon. I'm saying that a really good sandwich is just good tomatoes, good lettuce, good bread, and you don't have to cook anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you, that makes me ask about bacon.
What?
Well, I mean, normally I just throw it in a fry pan and that's how I do it. Yeah. But I also had this tray that was a microwave bacon tray that was like raised grooves so that all of the fat fell away and the bacon strips stayed perfectly flat and you didn't have to flip them.
How did that work?
It worked great, except now I can't find it.
Oh, no.
But it did work really great. Oh. And the thing I liked about it was that they stayed really flat, which if you're making a BLT is very cool.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about bacon because there's so many things that have changed with inflation. And it's corporations that are trying to not raise their prices and make money. So they're making their products lesser.
Yeah.
A big example, and we talked about this last time, is butter. There's a lot more liquid in butter now, and that's changing how baked things are turning out, and that has made my life miserable in that way. But I noticed that when I cooked bacon last time for a BLT, that there was a lot more water in the pan when I heated up the bacon at first to start with. And so I think that, you know how, like when you buy ham, it'll say 20%, you know, something
injected.
Liquid. Yeah,
it's...
yeah, injected with 20% juices or something. But the bacon is too now. It's more liquid. And there's a method that works for cooking bacon where you start bacon in a pan with a little water, and then that cooks off, and then the bacon cooks, and it works really well. And so now, just naturally, because there's more liquid in the bacon, yeah, it starts out in a little puddle of water, because it's once you heat it up, that all falls out of it. And so I thought that was funny, just that by trying to make it cheaper, they made it easier to cook.
Yeah. Well, that's unusual.
Yes, yes, yes. It doesn't.
Because, you know, we've gone from, with coffee and bacon and a variety of other things, from the pound 1 pound things to 12 ounce things.
Yeah.
Packaging. And now the 12 ounces is got water.
Yeah.
Some of that ounces is water.
Well, and then like cake mixes started out at 18.25 ounces and they're down to 13.5 now. And you just get like, I mean, if you make cake mix, it's just like this skinny little thing you have to use too.
Yeah, you don't cut one layer in half to make a two-layer cake.
No, geez.
It requires us to be completely aware of all the tricks when we're shopping.
But at least they can't mess with tomatoes.
That's true. Yay is right. They're so beautiful right now. And corn.
Yes. I don't know. I found the corn to be a little watery this year.
Yeah,
are you?
Well, and also starchy, which is just how long it's been sitting around before you get it.
I don't think it's a good year for corn.
I don't either.
And I'm going to say it. I don't think it's a great year for melons either.
Yeah.
It's a good year for berries, but marrons, melons and corn, they're just both a little watery. I'm having trouble finding one that I can, you know, sing the praises of.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we don't do melons right here on the coast.
Mm-mm.
In terms of growing them, I'm sure that there are people with hoop houses or sweet spot gardens that do their, you know, get really great melons. But for those of us who have to buy melon, it's coming from somewhere. And I guess maybe even like the Yakima Valley mm-hmm. is not having a good year.
No,
I don't know.
It's just not as, it's not bad or anything, but it's just not great. You're not like, wow, this is so divine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're going to buy a whole watermelon and it's not great, that's a whole lot of not great.
It's a commitment, yeah.
It's a whole lot of not great taking up space in your refrigerator.
Yes, yes. Grind it up into a drink.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Granita.
So Mariana and I were talking before we went on the air because Pledge Drive is not next time, but the time after that. So it's a ways away. But Marianne got a bunch of really nice cookbooks to give away for it. And so then it made me think, and this is just going to let you know how like conniving I am. So there's this book that I was really looking forward to coming out. It's called Whip. So, you know, I've been trying to up my pastry game. I've said that before. What does that mean? Does it mean I'm just sitting on the couch thinking about upping my pastry game? Pretty much. but
it has to start somewhere.
I know, but that's what I've been thinking about. So there's this book called Whip, and it's a pastry book that I'd been thinking of. It's self-published, and so usually you think self-published, you know, the underdog, you're rooting for him, you know what I mean? It's a self-published book, and it's by a guy called Frank Hesnoot, which I think is a great name. But the reason I now believe that it is self-published is because, and I wish that we could swear on the radio. I just do.
Let's take a quick second, silently all swear to ourselves.
Oh. So you know what I want to say.
Yeah.
But it is black letters printed on very dark brown paper.
What?
Why?
What?
And what is it with pastry chefs? Because that one Cedric blah, blah, blah guy, he does light yellow lettering on white paper.
I know.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. But there are several people who have made tragic mistakes like that and they don't have anyone in their lives to give them good advice, to steer them away from the
edge.
Where
are their mothers?
We're right here.
And so this is the insight into my personality. So I'm like, oh, I could give that one away.
Oh, my God. Don't worry. Don't worry, our precious seven listeners. Do not worry. We will give you good cookbooks. We might toss that one in as a bonus.
Yes, yes.
One of you may get an extra prize.
Two cookbooks.
We're out of time, Linda Perkins. I know. But I'll see you in September. Oh, that's a song, you know.
Yay, pretty exciting.
You want to sing us out?
Okay. I'm driving my vegetables. I'm driving my green edibles. I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli. I'm driving my cauliflower. Driving a bushel of corn home.
A bushel of not very good corn.
Kind of watery corn. Sorry, everybody.
Thanks, Linda.
And the book is brown.